Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? Aye,
you'll find out in VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope? And what's the best game where you batter the pole?
Assassin's Creed 2. Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Hello and welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, where we attempt to find the best game within a very specific category. For example, this week we're looking for the best game that should never feature on this podcast, which is actually a baffling and unhelpful explanation for what this show is about, because it assumes too much prior knowledge, also known as knowledge. Speaking of things whose inclusion in an entertainment show is entirely baffling and without at least a year of context, I'm joined by Tom Ory. How you doing, Tom?
All right, I regret coming up with the idea for this podcast.
Yeah, you were complaining earlier. You were on the Slack giving it. Who picked these topics?
And it was me. I came up with this one because I thought it was I thought it was smart at the time.
Yeah, but then you had to pick something.
Mm.
I read that intro out when my wife was in the room earlier, and she was like, "You what? Can you explain that again?" And then she's like, I don't get the concept of that episode at all. I'm like, no, I don't think Tom does either. So, but anyway, we'll persevere. Also joined by Alex Donaldson and James Billcliffe. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Yeah, I'm good.
It's the first one you guys have been on since last year, right?
Yeah. I mean, what? As we record this, we're not that far into the working year. We're under 2 weeks into the working year, but
yeah,
you did some last week, right?
Yeah, it's only the 11th today, so we've got, when we record this, we've got like 3 episodes to go out before this goes out. So, I mean, fuck knows, right? I mean, looking at how the schedule's been for the last few weeks, this might go out in October. But yeah, let's move swiftly on, because as ever, Tom's a busy guy, and he's he's got a calendar full of meetings that he has to turn up for and say things in, and he's really miserable about it. So I'm going to put you out of your misery, Tom, and ask you to do your pick first.
Right.
Just to get, in case you get called away to deal with a fucking missile crisis or something. What is your pick for the best game that shouldn't ever feature on this podcast?
Yeah, I struggled a lot with this. I couldn't. When I typed it out on Slack, I was like, "This is really clever, and it's going to be like, it's almost, it's meta, isn't it? It's like breaking the whole podcast somehow. The more you think about it, the more it can't exist." And I tried to think of something that actually fit in any way whatsoever, and I couldn't.
I love that.
And then I thought about, I'll just start off by telling a nice little story about something that's happened in my life. But I've retired the pastry story.
Thank God.
Right. So that's not, that can't appear in this podcast.
What about
anymore.
The dog? What about the dog that ran away? Is that still in
that? That never was a recur. That was never a returning story. That's just a one off.
And was also a lie, if I remember rightly.
It was a bit. It was a conflation of a few different things.
Was there ever a child pooing in Lidl? Did you make that up as well?
No. The Lidl. We're not saying Lidl anymore for legal reasons.
Was there ever a child pooing in a supermarket? Or
there was.
There are many.
There was. That's a true story.
Yeah.
And then last week, I told a story about what happened on the way to school in the snow. And I was thinking back about this. What basically happened was it was a bit of snow, and I saw some kids scoop up something off the ground. And in the hand was a dog turd, right? It was, and they threw it at his mate, and it went, and it would, like, you're not expect it to go, right? That story, I feel, doesn't have any legs. There's no, like, I thought about it, and like, come June, I'm like, you remember the snow last week and all that? It just wasn't going to work. So I haven't got a story.
You haven't got a story?
Nothing interesting is happening in my life at the moment.
You spent 6 minutes of the podcast telling us that you haven't got a story.
Yeah.
Is that going to be the recurrent? Are we going really meta with it now?
Maybe. I haven't thought it through, basically. It's just...
It's bad enough when you have thought them through, Tom.
That something will happen that I'll be like, I can use that for about 8 weeks and it'll be fine. Yeah. At the moment, I'm at the moment, I'm eating better, right? So I'm not going to supermarkets as much. So I'm not stocking up on things. So I haven't got the stories.
So I don't go to the toilet as much.
No, that's something, that's your kind of story. But anyway, we'll jump straight to the point. The game I've chosen, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is probably a rubbish choice. All I could think about was Goat Simulator. Right? Right,
okay.
And the reasoning is, right?
Yeah.
Games have to be good. The whole point of this podcast is games have to be good, right? It's the best games, right?
Yeah.
But then obviously if it's a bunch of bad, then the best one's still going to be bad. But I was thinking, right, Goat Simulator kind of was a mess, right? It was a mess of a game that deliberately or not became meme fodder and YouTube fodder because people just messed around in it and had fun, right? And like I played it a bit. It's quite fun, right? And my son's been playing the second one, the third, number three. And it is like, it's way more polished, but it's still full of like deliberate this time, I assume, mega jank, right? It's super like glitchy on I assume they've thought, right, let's just make it glitchy because that's what people expect, right? But this is why this game's not the best choice. It's not really that exciting. There's no clever reason behind it. It's just a game that's a bit rubbish that actually is quite good.
Right. Okay. Is it? I'm trying to explore this a little bit in terms of like, right, so it's rubbish. Because, I mean, I think it's a bit try hard, isn't it?
I don't know if it is. I don't know what the sequels are. I think actually, for what it is, and this isn't the podcast to get into this kind of discussion really, but I think actually it's very good. Like, I think for the audience it's going for, it's the game where you just, it's almost like, you know, like in Mario Odyssey, you're just constantly getting a little reward. You're like, I've got another thing. I've got that. It took me like 2 seconds, but I've got another one. I'm going to get another one. People didn't like that a bit about Odyssey, I think, in that it was far, like, they just dished out moons like candy, basically. But with Goat Simulator, Des are going to love this, saying, comparing it to Mario Odyssey. But there's always something new to do, right? Like, my son's been playing the third one, and it's like, he's finished it now, like, in terms of the story, if there is such a thing, but he's still finding like new little things all over the place that he hasn't done. And it's full of the most random stuff, right? He unlocks all these characters. There's like a pig, there's a goat, there's a scarecrow, there's a farmer, there's various outfits you get on them. At the moment, he's got this glowing, neat, like a disco bunny hat or something, mask that he wears, and like rocket boots, wings. It's like, it's the oddest thing. Like, my wife doesn't, like, she watches him play it, it's like, I think she thinks I'm a bit like, I shouldn't have let him play such an unhinged game, basically, because the goat's got, it looks like it's got a disease, right, as well. But
you know,
it's a fun game, and there's always something to find. Like, he's like obsessed with, like, on one island there's this woman by a lake, just there by a lake. There's some reference to something, I'm sure. But he's like, what's that about? And he's Googling what all these things in Goat Simulator 3 about what they are.
Yeah.
I don't know if it really fits this podcast, but Goat Simulator.
I sort of think that women, it's probably just a reference to the fact that women like hanging out by bodies of water, isn't it? We got Goat Simulator. Is it Goat Simulator 3 you're submitting specifically?
No, the first one.
Right, okay. Mm. Yeah, the third one is a bit try hard. Okay, all right. I've got a couple of things to say about that, but we'll park that until later. All right, let's go for Bill Cliff. We'll leave Alex till last because I'm sure his is going to be the best pick based on evidence so far.
Well, you say that, but I think I'm very sorry to have brought this game today, because once I speak the arcane ritual, once I utter its eldritch name, that can't go back in the box. And I'm truly sorry about that fact.
Before you say it, right, I want to point out that this should be your topic, actually, because you've made a bit of a name for yourself on this podcast by winning with absolute dog shit. So,
well, I think that on the one hand, yes, this game is. Well, in the same way as Ghost Simulator, it has its merits, and it does one thing incredibly well. And I'll just stop beating around the bush. And the game that I've chosen, the game that I don't think has any business being on this podcast, is Bloons Tower Defense 6, the greatest time sink known to man. There is no greater waste of time. There is no greater way to spend your time. As the seconds tick away, as the heart beats in your chest, second by second, Bloons Tower Defense 6 will take it from you, whether you want it to or not. It is the ultimate just waste of time game. And we all come from the era of Flash games, right? We all know that Flash games are brilliant, but know that they have absolutely no business being on this serious heavyweight podcast that's about real games, right? And Bloons Tower Defense 6 was just the greatest distillation of this fact, that of this genre of time wasted tower defense games that I could think of. So there's obviously the Flash version of it, there's the mobile version of it, and if you haven't played it before, it's a tower defense game where you play as like different monkeys. And you can have like Superman monkeys and monkeys that shoot mortar rockets. It's a little bit like World of Tanks or something weird like that, in a way that it just has completely incongruous stuff thrown into it, and like footballer things, and some of them are archers and some of them throw darts and all of this absolute rubbish. And you're popping balloons as these monkeys. You just hate balloons with a passion. For some reason, even though balloons are great, everyone loves kicking a balloon. Everyone's like, looks like popping a balloon about. Everyone loves that stuff. Kids especially.
I'm
sure Tom is swimming in balloons with his children. I'm sure
I've
Alex
got five
will be there
downstairs
one day.
Right now. They're
exactly.
They're downstairs right
balloons
now.
Balloons are amazing.
I might buy some balloons later now.
Yeah. Actually. Balloons are amazing.
I fucking love having a balloon.
Canonically, monkeys hate them. But what I don't hate is Bloons Tower Defense 6, because it's a fantastic tower defense game. Once you play it, it's one of these things where it's obviously aimed at children or people that are casually into games, not into super into it. But it's sprawled out because of the mass appeal of its central mechanics are so engrossing that the amount of levels that you have, the amount of units that you have, is just sprawled out to such a huge degree that you can spend so much time on this. And that each kind of map or scenario, whatever you'd call it, like from an RTS game, it just lasts about 25 minutes. And it's just if you just do sort of a couple of them, you're just like, Jesus, I've wasted so much time just going monkey pop balloon, just over and over again. And it's completely 100% 10 out of 10 at doing what it does. It's got engrossing jangly music. It's got perfect gameplay in terms of just popping those serotonin bubbles over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's a 10 out of 10 game. It has absolutely no business being on this podcast, but it's a 10 out of 10 game.
Is that like the most comprehensive review anyone's ever bothered to give it? Probably,
almost certainly.
Yeah.
Was this Bloons 6? Bloons 6?
Bloons Tower Defense 6.
Why not 5?
Specifically? Because Ghost Simulator. I've got no clue whether there was a 5. I've got no clue whether it was a 4, 3. No idea. It could have been in 1999. Could have been in 2012. Who knows? But the most recent, the
1399.
Xbox ports of it.
Bloody hell, 2018. I can't believe this, but apparently it's amazing. And I can't believe there's been 6 of them.
It's 10 out of 10 game. Has no business being on the podcast. You can play it on your phone. You can play it on your computer. You can play it on everything. It's if you just want to fritter your life away, you know what it reminds me of? When you're playing Baldur's Gate 3, there's a random cellar, there's like an evil necromancy book that's just got the arcane secrets of the world in it or whatever. And your phone with Balloons Tower Defense on it just reminds me of that. That it turns your phone into this kind of evil arcane text that just sucks the life out of you from every which way.
Can I I might try and get my aunt to set up a Steam account so I can gift her this, because everyone's got that aunt, right, who just plays Facebook games all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's all fun. And you get like loads of notifications. It's like, oh, fucking Auntie Tisha's playing Farmville again. And I really wish, like, every aunt like that should get a Steam account so their loved ones can gift them games that are good and that aren't fucking, like, you know. Well, it's the same kind of, it's really well designed. It's the same kind of, you know, that endorphin machine sort of, like, you know, clicker thing that you love, that you're obsessed with, but there's no sort of nonsense evil element to it, and none of us have to hear about it. That sounds great.
If you want even,
we should do a campaign, Tom, for Christmas.
It's also
a Christmas number one sort of campaign, right?
Ooh, yeah. That's a little tease. But back to Balloons. It's included as part of your Netflix now. You can get it with your Netflix games. You know, so if you didn't know
there
this,
you go.
As part, it's as, also been Apple Arcade.
Yeah, as part of your Xbox, as part of your Netflix subscription, you get a load of really, really good mobile games now. And I don't think that many people actually know about that.
FTL?
One of which, yeah. FTL, you can get. Man. You can get Kentucky Route Zero, you can get Oxenfree, you can get Point P, which is a game by the guy that did Downwell. Loads of great stuff. Best thing on it, Balloons. Yeah. Balloons.
I like the fact it's called Balloons, not Balloons.
Yeah.
That's what kids call Balloons. Balloons.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember playing the original Balloons, but yeah, whatever. It's, cool. Enjoy it.
How long ago was that, if there's been six of them? Are you going back to when you were five?
No, it was a Flash game. Flash game.
All right. Was it a Newgrounds thing?
That sort of thing, yeah.
Oh, I forgot he's on a bloody delay, isn't he? He won't get this for another fucking 8 minutes. It's like waiting for him to respond is like waiting for the sun to blow up. Right. Okay. That's on a fucking 8 minute delay as well. We could all be dead. The solar system could literally be collapsing right now and we wouldn't know about it. There could be a black hole right in the center of the fucking universe. And apparently Bill Cliff would be the last to know out of all of us because he's in fucking Yorkshire.
Well, right. Okay. I need to Alex, throw it. Just give me a sec.
What is your pick?
I thought about this quite.
Sorry, I needed to throw a ping pong ball to my cat.
I thought about this.
That
wasn't
a bit. I actually had to do it. Sorry, I was going to.
And I thought, you know, I could go for a game that was taboo. So, you know, obviously, I'm the person who submitted Galgun on this podcast a long time ago, stuff like that.
People have memory hold that as a Connor thing, but that was you.
I thought about that. I thought about. I became very close to submitting Heavy Rain because I think I think that is actually an okay game. But if everything that's happened since proves anything, it's that we shouldn't do anything to encourage David Cage. we should do absolutely nothing to encourage him to make anything. Yeah.
Video gamer, me and Burns went through me and Burns went through a period of calling him David Cage.
We'll see if that Star Wars game ever comes out. I think there's a strong chance it won't. But then I thought about it a bit more and I thought I would, and this is a big risk, this choice, because it's a little bit meta, but you described the topic as meta at the start of the podcast. So I've gone with Polybius. So Polybius is an arcade game, or an alleged arcade game that cropped up in the 80s that was basically an urban legend that this was an arcade game that was designed by the CIA. And they were putting it in arcades in Portland, I think it was. And basically people were having extreme reactions to the content of this game. They were having seizures, they were having amnesic episodes, they were finding they couldn't sleep after playing it, they found they were hallucinating after playing it, and once a day or whatever, every now and then, guys in black suits would come into this arcade, open up the machine, take down a bunch of data from it, and then leave. And then after a month or two, all the machines disappeared without a trace. So Polybius is just, it's one of the great urban legends of gaming. And obviously, I think the reason I thought of this is because there isn't any game, I don't think, that doesn't necessarily belong on this podcast. It's like what Bill Cliff just said. But if you had What's the Best Game That Stars Monkeys, someone's going to say Ape Escape, and someone's probably going to say Donkey Kong. But you could absolutely come in with Bloons,
yeah,
as a left field sort of thing. And I think that's true for pretty much anything you could say in this topic. But the interesting thing about Polybius is we don't even know if it ever really existed. But what I love about
best game that doesn't exist.
The thing I love about it is that it took on its own identity after the fact. So there are three different games that have been made since that have the same title that are modern games that aim to be, to replicate what the game has been described as being, including one by Jeff Minter, you know, who's one of the all-time great game designers. But also it's taken on that urban legend property where that's Polybius machines have appeared in like Nine Inch Nails music videos. It's appeared in The Simpsons. It's appeared in Stranger Things, I think, or there's like an Agalus version of it in Stranger Things. It appears in Loki, in the Loki TV show, when they get sucked into the place where all the stuff that doesn't belong in the universe, one of the things that doesn't belong in the universe is a Polybius arcade cabinet. It just jumped out at me as this silly, stupid thing where, yes, you could say best game that's an urban legend, Tom, but the thing is, there aren't that many games. In fact, I can't really think of any video games that are urban legends other than this one. I legitimately can't say it would be the only answer to the question. So
it makes it even more perfect. It's a winner. It's a winner on this podcast.
Well, but you'd have stuff like Mortal Kombat, the Secret Fatalities, all that.
That's like the best urban legend, right? But yeah, it doesn't belong because it probably never existed. But it belongs at the same time because it spawned these copycat games. It spawned all these legends and myths, and you know, it's in Ripley's Believe It or Not, and all this shit. Like I love it. And it's like anytime I watch something and I see a Polybius cabinet as part of it, it's one of those things where I'm just like, I get a bit excited. I went for something that doesn't belong because it doesn't exist, probably.
Do we even know what happens in it? Do we even know what kind of game it is?
There are descriptions of, I mean, it's a 1980s arcade game, so there isn't very much there isn't very much like detail to the nature of the game. It's a pretty standard 80s.
It's like Space Invaders. Shoot things.
Yeah,
there you go.
Balloons, perhaps.
But it's been going for a long time. Like mentions of it go back to the 90s, and that's like recorded mentions of it. So I think it had existed. You know, it started to crop up in the 90s in game magazines, being referred to as this long lost game from years ago, and it's just continued and continued since.
So what I think is interesting about this is that it's one of these sort of Mandela effect things, isn't it? Where basically people are misremembering something, and then other people are latching onto that, and it becomes a thing.
It's like Berenstein Bears,
yeah,
Berenstein Bears, whatever it is. It's that thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the most sort of plausible explanations for the Polybius thing is that people are actually, it's just from the Wikipedia, people are actually remembering a game called Cube Quest, which was a shooting game played from Laserdisc, which was a technology that infamously broke down a lot, which would explain like men in, you know, suits coming in and sort of fiddling with the machines and stuff like that, you know, the suits being overalls probably, but you can see how that becomes.
Well, you have to remember this, you know, was the time of also, that was the time of MK, well, not a million miles removed from MK Ultra and all that crazy shit. People were inclined to believe at that time that the CIA were, and in some instances they actually were, conducting crazy experiments on the public as part of the Cold War.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's a really interesting one, and it ties into this phenomenon as well, where people believe like moon landing hoaxes and stuff, where people just want to believe something that's contrary to reality because it makes them special, it makes them feel like part of a special club that really knows what's going on. It's and it's probably one of the few things in gaming we've really got like that. So I really like that as a suggestion, and yeah, it doesn't belong anywhere near this show in any other circumstances, really. All right, okay. I've got to pick something now. Let me readjust my hat. Sorry. Right, I've got to pick something now.
I've got a few things to say.
Hang on.
Are you listening? Because this is an important argument against Bill Cliff, right?
Right, okay.
So, yeah. Bloons 6 sounds great, to be fair, right?
Have you found that he reviewed it and gave it a 6?
Sounds great. I'll probably play it later. It's on Netflix. Didn't know it was on Netflix. Sounds good.
Mm.
But
yeah,
when you mentioned that it was about monkeys, right, I felt a very personal sense of sorrow because my family has a history of abusing monkeys.
That generational guilt is...
So I felt like it was a bit of a personal attack. And
you want to dive in there with the context, Tom, because it sounds horrific when you just leave it as...
No, I'm not going to go into it, but I feel like it was unfair to bring up a game like that. That is so close to something that I feel like an actual sense of like sadness, and like I lie awake at night.
Do you want to clarify anything about the phrase abusing monkeys?
No, it's fairly clear.
Your family abuse
it?
Monkeys. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Right, whose hasn't?
I wasn't involved.
If you're happy to leave it like that, then you know.
It's generational trauma, though, Tommy. You weren't involved, but you know, it's in your soul and your blood.
So that's. I think you need to consider that when weighing up the winner.
Oh, you think that should disqualify Bill Cliff?
Mm.
Okay. I think it's a big plus, definitely.
Right, okay.
To be fair, I haven't got any arguments against Donald's one.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, like, it's a good... When I was thinking about choices, I was trying to think of, like, a good game that hadn't never been released. But most of the games that never get released are shit, right? So it didn't really work.
Yeah.
And I didn't go quite as far out there as the game that never even existed.
Skull and Bones. You should. Tell you what, people often complain that Donaldson wins this show so often, but like he cheats by always picking the best ones. I'm just gonna say, Polybius is inspired. Is an inspired choice. So as far as I'm concerned, it's one.
No, I disagree.
We can wrap that up. I'm done.
Right. Okay.
We didn't even do
the
jingle
or anything, Tom. Is it?
Yeah, we've had the jingle.
I fucking explained that. Oh, he still hasn't got that bit, has he? He's still waiting for it to come through the fucking ether.
we have bits.
Right, okay. Yeah, I'm about... The jingle will happen, but it's only for subscribers now. It's only for premium subscribers. Okay.
He wants to say something. Let him say his bit. Look, he's desperate.
I was going to play Bloons while it's going on. I've got Bloons ready. I've had Bloons ready for a long time.
You still can, because it'll fucking come on in a minute. just wait a second. This is chaos.
I wanted to play Bloons.
So Polybius is the best game that should never feature on this podcast by virtue of the fact that it doesn't exist, never existed, and is not the product of a secret CIA program to make people in Portland feel a bit sick which is an outrage. I don't think the CIA needs to intervene to make happen, to be perfectly honest, given what I've heard about Portland.
So,
I mean, people are just like, you just eat too many brownies in Portland, surely, and that'll have the same effect. Right. So, Alex has won. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. Like and subscribe on YouTube. And please leave us a 5-star review on your podcast application of choice. It really helps us out. Write a really nice review as well. Like, put some text in and tell people about how great we are at, for example, hosting the podcast and maybe some of the other things that other people do as well. It's up to you. Right. We've got a special bit now, which is only for premium subscribers. And if you're not a premium subscriber, it cuts off now at the bit where I hit my mic. Okay. All right. So this is a new segment where James, Alex, I tell you guys what I would have picked if I was a contestant, and you can have a go at it. And this is where the theme comes in. So, I think it's funny that the gym jingle hasn't started for Bill Cliff yet. He's he's waiting for it to come on.
What jingle?
Right, okay. So I've got this written down here. Right, I would have picked Night Trap for this. And my rationale would have been that Night Trap is a very good example of the type of game it is. It's not a rationale that holds up very well the more I think about it, but I think it's a really important game, right? Questions were asked about it in Congress. It's a really it's a prominent example of that kind of 16-bit era, really experimental FMV game, and where it was this kind of mad new technology. We can stream video from a disc. How do we use that? As it turns out, very badly. But there's lots of things to say about Night Trap. Lots of column inches have been expended on it. There's been books written about it. It was re-released in high definition recently.
That's the thing I was going to say, is that it was enough of a cult classic that they saw fit to do a HD remaster. I have to be honest.
Yeah,
this was on my shortlist as well.
Amazing, right? Okay, so it was, you know, it was. It's something that I think is incredibly interesting, and probably of those kind of weird, quirky, experimental FMV games, that's really specific tight genre. Probably the best one of those that exists, and it's infamous for a reason. But it is a terrible game. It's rubbish, and no sane person would actually seek to play it.
I'm sure a lot of gamers do feel an affinity for, like, watching unbeknownst women over webcams. I'm sure a lot of them have thought about it, so.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, Jim, that if you think about why a lot of us play games, there's like a power fantasy element of it, and putting ourselves in the roles of the characters that we inhabit, that obviously we're playing. We're playing God of War because to some reason we want to kind of empathize with Kratos and put ourselves in his position and all of that sort of stuff. And I think it's really illuminating that you've chosen to put yourself in that role. And I just want to thank you for giving us that insight into your character.
I just want to be clear here. I'm no saying it's good. My entire argument is that it isn't, right? It's not good. It's just an interesting
You know a lot about it, don't you? For some reason.
Yeah. But
only in the context of, like,
playing it for 100 hours.
Night Trap. It's like Night Trap is one of those foundational like games though, right? It's like
it's an important game, even though it's probably one of the most important and known games relative to how much it actually sold.
Considering it was
on a platform that barely anybody owned.
Seven people had.
And had all these hurdles in order to actually play it.
Like, most important games in history, it goes fucking Space Invaders, Space Invaders, Super Mario Brothers, Night Trap. That's it.
Yeah, sounds about right. No notes.
Yeah, no notes. So, but yeah, it's a terrible game that people talk a lot about.
So you've gone down the route of terrible game again, right? That's what I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't win. So what was the argument there? Why did Alex get the win if you think terrible game should have won?
Because he had a better argument.
Night Trap, however, given 71% by CVG.
Yeah, when it came out.
Someone bought that copy that Congress had to watch, right?
Because I was like, I had a Mega CD and everything, so I could have bought this.
Yeah, I never
did.
I remember...
No, I didn't have a Mega CD. I had Sonic CD on PC.
How discerning my parents were in the 90s, because I begged them for like a 32X and a Mega CD, and I was like, look, it's amazing, and it makes the Mega Drive better and all that. And I remember my dad just being like, but it looks rubbish.
I wish I hadn't spent £230 on it at the time,
The thing that I wish I'd spent money on is the Sega CD isn't really worth much money these days, but the 32X and like the big 32X games are worth dollar. Like a good condition copy of Knuckles Chaotix is like, it's like 300, 400 quid. That's like one of my black spots in my collection is I don't own a copy of that game. And the reason I don't is because the game's a bit shit. And
yeah,
I'm loath to pay like 500 quid for a game that's a bit shit. But yeah, and 32X like hardware as well is really expensive. I don't know why. Well, because it didn't sell anything, right?
Yeah, because it's like there's only five of them left that still work. Tom, how much did you pay for a Mega CD?
I think, I bought a Mega Drive and a Mega CD together from Dixon's.
Yeah.
I remember going to Alliance and Esther, the building society, taking all the money out of my bank account, me and my brother, which was over the road from Dixon's. This is a little secret. This is a story for the special subscribers. Mm. And I went over there. We like filled in the little leaflet you had to fill in to take money out of a bank. And he gave you a load of cash. And we walked literally across the road to Dixon's.
Yeah.
Life savings from cleaning pubs. Here you go. On a Mega Drive and Mega CD, because we only had a Master System until then, so it was quite a big deal.
That would have been a huge jump. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the Mega CD, me and my brother were pretty like excited about it for a while. Like it had some reasonable games that we were like convinced ourselves were worth the money.
Yeah.
But looking back now, it's a bit like when I bought we bought a Pentium. I think it was a Pentium 2 Pro PC, and it came like back then, and it was a certain type of format that they just discontinued immediately.
It's been like getting a Wii U for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
What year did you get the Mega Drive?
I don't know. It was like it was just like the Mega CD was fairly new, so whenever that was, I don't know when that was exactly, but it wasn't like the Mega Drive had been out a while at this point.
My holy grail was always the multi-mega, the one that was all-in-one Mega Drive and Mega CD where it was all one unit. And that's always been one of my bucket list things to own. But again, boxed, you're talking 1,500 quid, 2 grand now. So I don't think I'll be getting one of them anytime soon, unless someone wants to send me the lottery numbers.
I just want to point out that the Mega CD came out in the UK in 1993 for £270, which is £678 today.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't rich. We were not rich kids, right? Just to be clear, this was a lot of saving. We used to clean pubs, literally, as children.
That is a lot. That's like a win now, buying fucking, a MetaQuest? And
kids these days need to get jobs.
Well, no, a MetaQuest is like 300 quid. Like,
Christ, two MetaQuests.
Like it's like a 13-year-old waltzing into the Apple Store and buying an iPhone 15.
That's insane. Or two pub cleaning brothers buying a MetaQuest each.
Yeah,
that would be a nice story, wouldn't it? Yeah. I'll be like, we should get your brother onto the podcast. He's already sort of I've made inroads into that, Tom.
But he doesn't. You imagine me?
Yeah.
Like, but less interesting. And that's hard. That's hard to imagine, right? That is what you get.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Ari, but with less stuff to say. Mm. All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for subscribing. I'm sure that was worth the.
I eked out a little bit extra for people then, because you were going to wrap it after about 2 minutes.
That was 13 minutes for $2.99. That you don't. Mm. I mean, that's like what? That's like the ratio you get with a film. There, how much is it to go and see a film now? 70 quid. Right. Okay, right. I'll speak to you guys later. We don't need to tell people to subscribe because like they literally have.
Already
they can't
have.
See this if they haven't.
Don't cancel. So. Don't cancel. That's what we're saying.
We're sorry. It'll be better.